many moving parts. So let's keep moving. I'd like to invite you, as you're comfortable, to join me in taking off your shoes. As you're comfortable and as you're able. I'm gonna take my socks off too, so I don't just shoot right off the chancel mid-sermon. Don't worry about your toenails, don't worry about it smells, just don't worry about it. So whether you have shoes on or not, press firmly. Try to press firmly if your legs can get there, firmly to the ground. Wiggle your toes a little bit. So feel the resistance of the wood or the carpeting against your body. Feel the sensation of the wood or the carpeting or even your own shoes against your heels or the balls of your feet, maybe even if your arches, depending on how flat they are. You're touching holy ground, or at least you're suspended above it. Because right under this floor that we're all sitting on and standing on, there's a lot of soil right under here. It's been brought in by us and by a century of our predecessors. We've brought it in and it's shifted down between these slats below us over all of those decades. Underneath us too are piers, P-I-E-R-S, piers, round piers, that are buried to varying degrees, depending on how much soil has shifted down, and that are rotting to various degrees because there's water and there's moisture down there too. The piers are both in sacred ground and returning to sacred ground at the same time. It's Pledge Sunday. But they are in a sacred ground and returning to sacred ground just like Moses must. So we've made an enormous leap between the story of Jacob Israel in Genesis last week and Moses here at the beginning of Exodus this week. In between the immediate family of Jacob Israel, an itinerant people, have become the settled Israelites in Egypt. And they've become so exceeding in number, the scripture says, that they have filled all of Egypt, and Pharaoh wants to beat them down. So Pharaoh enslaves them, Pharaoh tries to kill all of their babies, and then Pharaoh's daughter goes and adopts one of them, Moses. Even though Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh, he knows he is an Israelite. As an adult, when he sees an overseer, a slave master, beating a fellow Israelite, Moses kills him, buries him in the sand, and runs away to another land called Midian. Once he's in Midian, he starts a whole new life. He marries a woman named Zipporah, who is the daughter of a priest in Midian, Jethro. And that should have been that for Moses. God is not so concerned with our "that should have been that." God is not concerned. In what I think is one of the most compelling testimonies to God's preference for, God's special role for the outsider, the imperfect. God does not set a bush ablaze for a suffering slave in Egypt. No, God sets it ablaze for a murderer who has migrated away to Midian. God compels someone who got to grow up with privilege, including the privilege of being able to run away from problems, to go back and be part of freedom. God demands that Moses recognize he's standing on holy ground, just like the ground of his homeland, which has been so desecrated by one of the most egregious forces of non-being there is, slavery. God's demand of us is the same, except that what we're up against is far more slippery and hard to hold on to than slavery. The force of non-being we have to confront and we have to upend is our own failure to protect, to steward this one and only planet that we have. Because unlike Moses, we don't have the privilege of being able to run away. When it comes to our planet, the melting ice caps, the terrible storms, the reduction in North American songbirds of 29%, this season's delayed crops and terrible flooding in Iowa, there is nowhere else we can go. We can't go to another land, meet a nice new environment, and start a new human family. We don't have that option. And even though, like Moses, we have watched others and we have watched ourselves wallop on and wail on this fragile planet, we have done pitifully little to stop that slave master, which is our lust for consumer products and oil. But as always in our stories, there is hope. The translator and scholar Robert Alter asks us to consider Moses' leadership qualities. What are the leadership qualities that Moses possesses to do this impossible task? Well, on the one hand, he has an impassioned sense of justice. I mean, he kills the overseer. On the other hand, he has a really hot temper. He killed the overseer. He didn't start a nonviolent movement of protest. On one hand, Moses is completely selfless in his compassion. He will give up everything in order to say yes to God's holy land. And then on the other hand, he has a sense of deep personal inadequacy. He never thinks he's good enough. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So as Alter points out, Moses is not a superhero. Moses is no different than anyone else. We are no different than Moses. We and Moses alike are so flawed and entirely capable. It's just that instead of a bush, it's the Amazon rainforest, our primary source of oxygen and planetary cooling, that is on fire. The problem that surrounds us, that's literally surrounding us, that we are literally breathing in every day, that of slowing down climate change, is enormous. It's too big to even conceive of. Oh, that only we had slavery to solve, right? This is too big. Moses asked God, on what authority am I to go to Pharaoh, the greatest power of the day, and fight with Pharaoh? And on what authority am I going to ask a nation of strangers to me to radically change their lives on the basis of faith? And God says, well, tell them that you are sent by I am who I am. Also translated, I will be who I will be. We have that same power. The power that we need to confront corporations and governments, to invite entire industrialized nations, including our own, to radically upend our lives on the basis of scientific fact is no different. God is, and God will always be, exactly what we need. A flaming reminder that it's not just these designated sanctuaries that are holy, but the entire planet radiant. The earth is holy ground. So let us, with that intentional togetherness that Jeremy describes so well, let's go from this place and invite others to join us in taking off their shoes, in taking off their fear, to stand in awe on this ground once more, so that our descendants, Anna Lynn jumping in the back, Elon drawing here, Raxus making little googly noises there. We do this so that our descendants might be able to walk this earth at all. Amen.